Good morning, everybody. It's my pleasure today to be able to bring to you the Word of God. Doug was gracious enough to let me have another opportunity, and I was glad to take it. We're going to be looking today at really why the Word of God matters. Why is it so important? Why do we do confirmation? Why do we do Bible studies? Why do we do all those things? But before we do that, we're going to pray and ask for God's blessing on His Word this morning. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank You and I praise You because You are God. And because Your Word, Lord, it's what provides all that we need. It's our guide. It's our director. It's our protector. It's Your mercy to us for us to be able to receive the Word of God. Father, as we look today at Your Word and what it says about Your Word, why it matters so much, I pray, Father God, that You would pour out Your Spirit this morning, that we might hear Your Word, that it would be effective into opening up hard hearts and dull minds and stopped up ears. Give us grace this morning that those things would happen to the glory of Your name and for the joy of Your people. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, a Confirmation Sunday, a day of great anticipation for Stratton and for his family, as well as for Pastor Doug and for myself. For 3 years, we have endeavored to teach you, Stratton, and others attending Confirmation, the Word of God. As Pastor Doug mentioned, we do not confirm a person after 3 years as a believer in the Christian faith, but rather we confirm them as having a basic knowledge of what the Word of God says. A basic knowledge of the foundation and the fundamentals of the Christian faith. What I'd like to talk about briefly this morning is the why behind what we do in our ministry here at Living Hope Church. Why do we focus on and spend so much time teaching and expounding the Word of God to all, from the youngest to the oldest of those who are involved in our fellowship? And there are three main reasons that we're going to be looking at this morning that are going to help us try to answer that question. The first reason that we do what we do is because the Word of God is true. Secondly, we do what we do because the Word of God is powerful. And lastly, we do what we do because God Himself places an exceedingly high value on His Word. So let's look at the first reason, that being the Word of God is truth. And this morning we're going to be taking a look at a variety of texts which speak to these three points, and really what I'm just going to do is allow God's Word to put the meat on the bones of the outline that you have before you this morning. So what I'm going to probably ask you to do is simply to jot down the text as we go through the points and listen. You can go back later, look them up, fill in the notes you want to, but just jot down the references and then listen to what the Word of God says about the Word of God. Our first one this morning, John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." He then goes on to say in John chapter 14, verses 16 to 17, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." And finally, in John chapter 8, verse 26, Jesus says that He who sent Him, that being the Father, is true, and that Jesus declares to the world what He has heard from Him. So what we see here is that Scripture clearly states that all three members of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, are true and can only by their nature express truth. Psalm 119, 160 says that the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. And again, we see this same statement from Scripture in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5, where it says, every word of God proves true. Now, by the way, if God is true and can only speak truth, then that means that any other religion or theology that goes contrary to the teachings of God's word is a lie. It is simply not true that all religions are equally valid and good. They are not all just different ways to the same God, which is the lie that the world, and sadly to say, also many churches are promoting these days. Now, there's a couple of related points that we're going to look at a little bit later, but are worth mentioning here in this section on the truth of the Word of God. Because you see, the truth of God's Word is such an important aspect to why we do what we do in ministry. Because according to the Word of God, there's two benefits, very important and critical benefits, that come from the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. The first benefit that we receive is salvation. Ephesians 1, 13 to 14 says, in Him also, that is Christ, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory. And also we see in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 4 to 6, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you. As indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Well, the second benefit we receive from the teaching and preaching of God's word is sanctification. The Bible tells us in John 17, 17, that Jesus is asking God the Father to sanctify His disciples in truth, and that His word is truth. And sanctification is simply the process by which God makes His people holy, molding them into the image of Christ His Son. So that what we see here is that the truth of the word of God is the means by which holiness is attained. Something else just to mention here is this. If God is true, and His words are truth, then to reject it and to live in denial of that truth means that you would be living outside of reality. Because truth equals reality. And of course, if we live outside of reality, we are by definition insane. Something we've heard before, and something certainly to think about. Well, that brings us to our second point this morning, which is, we do what we do because the Word of God is powerful. Scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. By the way, that's why when the Word of God is preached and taught, people feel this intense exposure of their private world, because the Word penetrates through all the pretense that we show and all the masks that we hide behind. It lays us bare, leaves us vulnerable before the God whose words we hear being spoken. It's going to bring a crisis of decision for those who sit under its teaching, where they will either repent of their sins, seeking forgiveness and reconciliation with God, or they will rage and push and buck against it until they finally have to remove themselves from the situation or do what they can to silence the message. We see elsewhere in Scripture the power of God's Word described in this way. Jeremiah 23, verses 28 to 29. He says, let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks rock in pieces? And also in Isaiah 55, verses 10 to 11, we hear these words. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. God does not waste his time uttering useless and frivolous words. You know, so much of our speech during any given day is simply spoken to fill empty space. People don't like silence, so they speak just to hear something, anything. But with God, every word he has ever spoken and ever will speak are of monumental significance and are, each and every one, spoken for a purpose. A purpose, which we know from Scripture, that will most certainly be fulfilled. Now, I mentioned in that first point about the truth of God's Word that there are two benefits we receive from its teaching and preaching. And those two benefits come directly from the fact that God's Word is so powerful. So we're going to look at those again, those being salvation and sanctification, in regards to what Scripture has to say about them. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Also, the book of James tells us in chapter 1, verse 21, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Now, there's nothing else in all of creation, in all the vastness of the myriad of all the galaxies in existence, that has that power to take a dead person and make them alive. Or to take a wickedly sinful creature and transform them into a person who loves and desires godliness. There is nothing out there that can do such a thing. Only the Word of God can accomplish this. Only the Word of God can bring life from death and fullness to that life, both here and in eternity. John 8:51 says this, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my words, he will never see death. See, for the believer, we've been snatched from the clutches of eternal punishment by the power of the word of the eternal God and set apart for glory in his radiant presence forever. But wait, there is more. Not only does the power of the Word of God grant us salvation, but it also brings about our sanctification. 2 Timothy 3, 16-17 says that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Also written in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 4, we see this. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You see, for the believer, guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit, and with the law of God now written on our hearts, we live lives that are pleasing to God. As we walk in His ways, abiding in His powerful word, we are set free by God from the power of sin in our lives. As we see written in John chapter 8, 31-32, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Sin is no longer our master. For now we have a new and loving master in Christ, and our lives begin this slow and definite transformation into the image of our Savior because of the power of the Word of God. When God speaks, all creation listens and obeys without exception. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Just as it was at the time of creation, when God speaks, things happen. Marvelous and wonderful things, including our journey towards holiness. That is why we can teach and preach the Word of God with such confidence and boldness, because we see that it is effective and powerful and will glorify God regardless of the weakness of the vessels by which the Word of God comes. So we can agree with what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 2 to 5. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And that brings us to our last point this morning regarding the question of why we do what we do here in our ministry. The third reason is because God Himself places an exceedingly high value on His Word. Psalm 138, verse 2 says, I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and for your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your Word. Now, if the one true God of all creation thinks that His Word is that valuable, then why should we think any different? In fact, if we're going to live a life that is pleasing to God, then we better be sure that we are valuing things in our life the same way as God values them. Many people today demonstrate that their view of God's Word is desperately lacking value of any kind, let alone the value that God places upon it. Today, the Word of God is ignored, laughed at, mocked, belittled, and slandered. Now, I know it isn't just today that it's like that. It's been that way for centuries throughout the known world. However, in our country, particularly, the dismissal of God's Word has progressed to a point today where even many churches believe the Bible simply to be man's opinions, written for a time when people were more ignorant and had less knowledge. They believe that as we've grown now in knowledge and understanding, Americans think that the Bible is now outdated, narrow-minded, hateful. We do not. We believe it to be the inerrant Word of the one true God, and that it will outlast every one of its detractors. The Bible speaks about the permanency of the Word of God in many places as an indication of the value that God places upon it, because He will guard it and protect it and cause it to endure forever. Matthew 24, 35 says this, Heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will not pass away. And in Luke 16, 17, But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one dot of the law to become void. And to demonstrate to you that this is how God has always viewed His Word, and not some New Testament church conspiracy, we see in the Old Testament books of Isaiah and Psalms texts like these. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God will stand forever. And Psalm 119, verse 89 says, Forever, O Lord, Your Word is firmly fixed in the heavens. In fact, Jesus mentions in John chapter 10, in the 35th verse, that Scripture cannot be broken. Yet, that does not stop people today from trying to alter and to remake the Word of God into translations that are more palatable to modern sensitivities and more relevant to today's culture. But those that attempt such things do so to their own demise. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 to 19 says this, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. You see, God takes very seriously the treatment of His Word. And since the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the Word of God in flesh, then it follows that He would take the treatment and valuation of His Son very seriously as well. I read an interesting story about an old miner who lived in the life of a hermit deep in the mountains of Colorado. When he died, some of his distant relatives came to collect up his valuables. They arrived to find a miner's shack with an outhouse behind it. Inside the shack, there was an old cooking pot, some mining equipment, a cracked table with a three-legged chair that stood next to a tiny window. And there was a well-used kerosene lamp stood as a centerpiece on the table. So as the relatives gathered up the miner's possessions, they loaded them in a truck. They got ready to drive away. The miner's old friend came walking up. And he called out to them, "You don't mind if I take what's left in that old shack?" "No," they said. "Take it. We have all the valuable stuff. You can have whatever's there." So the man thanked them, and off they went. He walked over to his friend's shack. He went in and looked around for a little bit. Then he reached under the table and lifted up one of the floorboards. And little by little, he lifted out all of the gold his friend had discovered over the previous decades. Millions of dollars worth of gold. Had they dug a little deeper, those distant relatives would have found a treasure of great value. By looking only on the surface and not understanding the true character of the old miner, they missed it all. That's why we do what we do in our ministry, making much of the Word of God, so that you may know the surpassing riches in Christ Jesus. And where are these riches? They're in His Word. Jesus said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." Hebrews 10, verse 7. Do you know the book? The truth book? The life book? Or will you only give a passing glance, missing all of the true and glorious riches that await those who genuinely love the truth? I'm going to have Stratton come on up this morning here. We're going to present him his Bible. I'm going to finish up with this. Stratton, come on up. In that message, Stratton, it explains to you why we do what we do, why we give you the Word of God for 3 years in confirmation, and starting in the youngest of Sunday school ages all the way up to the senior high and then ultimately adult classes, because the Word of God is that valuable and that important. Now, there's a line that we always say when we hand out Bibles to our Sunday school kids or to our confirmation graduates, and that line is this: the book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Which one will it be for you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that it is true. It is powerful. And because you value it so highly above all else, we ought to as well. Help us, Lord, never to falter in that ministry of the Word, because through it we gain salvation into the kingdom of God, sanctification, being made holy and molded and conformed to the image of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, this morning as we give Stratton this Bible for confirmation, Lord, we ask that you would make it precious to him, that he would spend time in it, digging deep for that treasure that awaits for those who love the truth. Give him a heart's desire, and all those here, a heart's desire to love your truth. We pray it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Yeah.